It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
That
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, August 22nd, 2020, live from the Radio Ranch. Got a beautiful smoky sunrise. Sun's just climbing out of the smoke-filled haze that our valley is in. And that's because half the west is on fire. There's fires just about everywhere. But that's how it is this time of the year. And we welcome you here. And we've got a crew with us this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim, from over in Nebraska. How you doing this morning, Tim?
Good morning. Fine, thank you.
And again, we say good morning to you, the Remnant. We thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open if you have a comment or a question, and that we'll do our best to address. And we thank you for taking time to join with us. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and His Word says, and we believe His Word. It says that where two or more are gathered, He is there also. So, Lord Jesus, welcome. Welcome. Well, Jason, would you open us up in prayer before we get going any further, please?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Father, for your blessing upon this prayer meeting this morning. We ask, Father, that you be with us as we come and go out over the airways, and we ask that you just help us to be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. We pray, Father, dear Jesus, that you just use us in a mighty and powerful way against the forces of darkness and the forces of wickedness that are in this land. Dear Heavenly Father, we just bend our knee and come before you and ask for you to protect us in these times that we're living in. See to it that our families are protected, that we have angels about us. We put on that full armor of God, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to work in us and through us, and let us be a light into a dark world. We pray, Father, that you war with those that war against us, that you fight with those that fight against us, Father. And we pray a hedge of protection around us, a shield of light, that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. And we pray, Father, that you continue to stomp our enemies into the ground. You know who they are. You know how they're warring against us. You know how they're fighting against us, Father. And we know that there's a lot that you see that we don't see. And, Father, we ask for wisdom in these times. We ask for wisdom. We ask for the knowledge that we need and the understanding that we need. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll, you know, the fires that are out, it's fire season, and out here in the West, when that happens, the air gets filled with smoke, that's for sure. I know many are experiencing this. I know we've got a fire between us and Colorado that is up, I think, 15,000 acres, mainly out in the woods, out in the mountains, but it's, when you get that right wind, the smoke sure fills here, and large fires all over. I think Colorado has the right now the second largest fire they've ever had going on. Fires down around Grand Junction that are just ripping through the state. We've got a large one north of Sheridan up on the Montana border that's fired up last week. And then if you look at the maps, Utah and Montana and especially California, and the fires are hitting California early this year, earlier. We talked about that this winter when Australia was burning up, being that their seasons are opposite of ours. And so in our winter is their summer, and they were having massive record fires. And we talked to you about that then, about how it sure looked like that California, with the drought that they've been in and the issues that they've had, that it was going to be another record-setting fire year. And, you know, if you go back 15, 18 years, Pastor did several messages on that, why the California fires are burning. And because even then, there were record-setting fires. And it just, every year, you could say it gets worse. They're hotter fires. They burn more. We remember it was just 2 years ago that Paradise, California burned. The whole town, and so we are seeing this acceleration. I think from a biblical standpoint, it fits the narrative of the birth pangs that we read about. That they get harder, they get closer together, and there's other birth pangs that are joining in with those this year. It sure seems like they are. Was driving through town yesterday, saw some of the yellow shirts. That's what the Wildland firefighters wear, the bright yellow shirts that are Nomex. And saw some just over at one of the parks, and I pulled in. There was a hand crew from West Virginia that are out. that was their assignment, come out to Laramie, and then they were going to, the incident commanders let them know if they were going to send them on up north to above Sheridan or down south into Colorado on those fires. And so, you know, that happens. They travel cross country. Many crews do. I remember when Chattanooga burned a few years ago. We had one of our local fire crews out there on that to help with them for a couple of weeks. And so, but it is a Smoky Morton morning. No, we're not in the Smoky Mountains back east, but it sure looks like it. This morning, it does. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment, and Tim, we'll go down to you in Nebraska. Anything you want to start off with this morning?
Well, I think it's interesting to note that California's wildfires are going up, like you said, in size. One of the things that just struck me is California has a alphabet soup gang down there called CARB, which is the California Air Resources Board. And, of course, they're very strict and stringent. And they are, you know, just kind of the evil empire when it comes to anything air quality-wise. But I'm not sure where they're going to send a fine to God at, because right now California has the worst air quality in the world. So, you know, due to all the fires. And then one of the other things that popped up on California that was interesting, I thought, was Newsom. He during this COVID crisis, he's required all the state workers to take a 10% pay cut, you know, and of course he said, well, everybody's going to take a 10% pay cut, but he didn't take one. You know, he makes his payment for being governor is $17,479 a month. But and he was he's a multimillionaire before he became a governor, and he's the second highest paid governor in the United States, right behind Cuomo out in New York. But he didn't take a 10%. Of course, now that this has been brought to light and people are making noise about it, like, oh, it was an oversight, and he wants them to go back and retroactively take the 10% out, which is nothing to him, but the whole thing was it probably was an oversight. He didn't really care about that. It didn't matter to him, but the help that it might have been to his state didn't matter to him either, you know. So it's an interesting, you know, and you contrast that with the fact that President Trump donates his salary to help things, to renew the monuments and to, you know, make changes that he believes in. And I think that, I think we see the difference there. That shows you the way they spend people's money too, because if it's your money, they don't care. They just throw it at things. It's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. If it's their money though, then not so much. They want to hang on to it. They want to use it for whatever. So we see a lot of those greed and avarice and things in those high places like that. The Bible talks about the bribes, and they've always got their hand out for money, and we see that all the time go on. I mean, it's just another confirmation that God's word's real and relevant. So I just a note there. That's kind of what I was going to start with.
Amen. Yeah, what a mess California has been. And, you know, from their government policies to the rolling blackouts that the power companies have had to put in. I've seen that in the news the last couple of weeks, how they, you know, when they had these serious winds because of the Paradise Fire, or the Camp Fire that they called it, that burned Paradise, and they came back and blamed you know, I think, what was it, PG&E, the power company. And so now when they had those serious winds, they just cut the power to those susceptible lines, you might say. And what a mess that can be. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And if you have a question or a comment... Jason, what do you see going on these days? Well, maybe Jason dropped off. I heard a beep there. Are you still there, Tim?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I heard a beep. I know sometimes the phones have been having issues, or something might have came up with Jason, and he'll probably come right back on.
Technical difficulty. Well, I
might be.
I would go so far as to say that I think it's another one of those things that we're seeing with God's plans and what goes on. And we've seen hail, fire, drought, insects that are consuming food all over the world, and it's also interesting to me that those signs, God's people recognize these signs for what they are, signs that there is call to repentance, to a continuation of doing things his way. And it's also this unrest strikes me as what these riots and all this garbage that's going on. You know, they're making all these changes for people. I was thinking about the Goodyear scandal that's going on. Nobody has mentioned that but I'm sure it will come up over what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and and how this big company, an American quote-unquote tire company that makes a lot of its tires in Mexico, or out of sight of the state. But at any rate, how they've done this, and their stock is in the toilet right now. I mean, things are just going very poorly for them since this came to light. And the thing that strikes me about it is these corporate leaders or masters, they want to run around and make all these changes. And if you look, the marked line between, say, small business owner and a corporate owner is big. Most of your small business owners are in or out. You know, they're either, and the majority of them I see are pretty much like, they're not involved in that. They understand. But, we've got a lot of these other guys, they want to play on both sides of the fence. And you're really not talking a very big percentage. You know, 12%, I mean, you're back to statistics again. If you roll up the fag movement and, all these other rainbow coalition movements and BLM and everything else into one group, you're only talking about 12%. So it interests me, and I wonder what kind of insanity goes along with the fact that they can't wait to destroy themselves for 12% of the population. And probably those people don't buy tires anyway. I mean, that's totally off the cuff, but, you know, we see those kind of things go on, and it's like, I think it's just another way God shows us his power and his influence. Amen. And the things that go on, and give us pause to think about what's going on. You know, if God be God, serve him. And so often we think, oh, we're all alone, or we're by ourselves, or, you know, there's those questions that are kind of generic questions that run through everybody's mind. What can I do? Well, what can one person do? I mean, I serve God, but what can one person do? You can pray. Elijah was one guy. Look at the changes he made. You know, Samuel was one guy. The list, I mean, the Bible gives us a lot of individuals that made a huge difference.
Yes.
And, of course, that was with God's help.
Yes.
But we cast that, well, what can one person do out there, like it's some kind of major slam, and it's like, and it is. It's a major slam against God. Quit it. God, when God is with you, who can be against you? You know, I mean, and you're not alone anyways. It's just a perception that we have, a pity party. And, we need to stop doing that. The battle is won. And I see all this as God is on the move, and his power is, he's walking about, and he's squaring some things up. So it's coming. And
amen.
You know, we're seeing it happen.
Amen. We are. We are. And Jason, was that you back with us this morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I lost you for a minute. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. But was just saying, what, you know, what do you got on your mind this morning? How do you, what do you want to share with the remnant?
Well, one of the things that I thought, you know, is this whole, everything that we're dealing with, and we're coming up on an election, and, you know, just, I mean, recently, when you see stuff that, you know, deceased cat gets registration application in the mail, you know, we go to the cat, Cody Timms, who was a cat that died 12 years ago, but it was registered as a Democrat, so therefore, it gets a voter registration in the mail. Mail-in ballot. You know, we're having towns that have, you know, 800-900 thousands of people that have been deceased for years, but they were registered as Democrats, and therefore they're getting their mail-in ballots in the mail. It's a mess. They're playing dirty, real dirty, and you know, it's just, you know, it's just insanity. You look at, you know, they've got video footage of these postal workers that are taking the ballots and throwing them in dumpsters, and not even turning them in. And, you know, so it's one of those things that, we, you know, keep aware of. Our enemies are playing dirty. And then we look at, you know, what's going on, you know, Virginia with mandatory vaccinations. And, you know, they're pushing that so hard right now. People are fighting it back like crazy. But, you know, mandatory vaccinations for all the residents of Virginia, that's pretty messed up. And I think that things have smoothed out a little bit, and they've, you know, they've got the nose in the tent and taken two steps forward, taken a step back. Things are starting to calm down, streamlined, getting back to, you know, somewhat, you know, a new normal. And I think we're getting ready for another push as far as this COVID thing goes as well. And it's just, you know, things are changing so fast. People need to realize that, you know, after the food shortage that we just experienced, there's still a lot of reserves that are not met and not stocked up on. There's still things that you can't get because of this COVID thing. And if we have another push of this, like we did a month ago, it could wipe out the food storage situation out there in a really quick manner. I was talking with a lady at the hardware store. I was picking up looking for some canning lids. She's like, well, I got some back there, but that's all I can get. She said, I can't get canning jars. I can't get canning lids. I can't get rings. I can't get any canning supplies because there's so many people that garden this year. And funny thing is she said they got people in there coming in there all the time that bought all these canning supplies and don't know how to can anything.
Right.
And, you know, that's just, you know, something that, you know, I think it's something that important that people should be doing. It's something that they can do. Very effectively, efficiently, and, you know, do it at their own house, at their own leisure, and do what they like to do and put away something. You know, it's something that everybody should be doing as far as the nutritional value of the food is. It's, you know, definitely the way to go. And I know, Tim, your wife's been doing a bunch of canning, and I've been doing a yep. bunch, and, you know, it's just you get into it, and you do what you like. This week was jalapeno week for me. I was able to put up 36 pints and 12 quarts of jalapenos. And it was, you know, it doesn't take that long when you set it up and you just start doing it. And it's something that that could come into a really good need here in the near future.
That's true. Yeah, we're dealing with a time when it's not as complicated as you think. Find somebody who has been doing it for a long time. And there's moms and grandmas and aunts out there that still have done that. And they've tried to make that another one of our lost arts, really, if you get down to it. Because if you get online or if you get with some, they make it so complicated that it's just like you throw your hands up in despair. And actually, it's not that complicated. And it is a, like you said, higher food value, higher quality. Your home, take advantage of your time. Utilize it for something that will help your family continue on and add some security to your life and insulate you from these shortages and high food price swings and unavailability problems. I mean, we see that going on all the time. It's a good feeling to look at your larder or your cave or your closet or whatever and see all that stuff there.
Amen. You know, saw this news report from the Wall Street Journal. Even with a strong crop this year, the U.S. farmers are suffering, and the expected bumper crop means the prices are staying low. It's, you know, a lot of this has been brought to light this year in the beef industry. People saying, oh, well, beef's not available, and that's why the prices have tripled in the store. And there's plenty of beef available. It's just that it's controlled. And when you read through this article, you see kind of the same thing, you know, between because China exports of U.S. corn, soybeans, and wheat are 144% higher than they were at this time last year. And so you think, well,
wow,
that's good. That's good. We're selling more that type of stuff. And I've been talking about how China has just been, you know, how their imports are up as like crazy on food imports. This article, you know, is from, of course, our point of view is, that we're exporting more food, but you know, the prices are lower. Pro Farmer had a week-long tour of farmlands across seven states and assessed the national corn yield at 177.5 bushels per acre and soybeans at 52.5. Now, that's lower than the estimates of what they were going to be, but it's higher than last year with all the flooding we had and a lot of those crops in the Midwest. And so it's actually a little better crop, but it's less money for the farmer. Figure that one out. Here's one guy out of South Dakota, Doug Somke. He's president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, and he farms 3,000 acres of corn and soybeans. He says their local grain elevator is paying $2.87 for a bushel of corn. That equates out to a little over $500 for an acre. That's a dollar lower than he needs per bushel to break even. So we're not even talking about paying the bills. That the price that the grain elevator, it doesn't, and it's been that way. Jason, you brought that up many, many times. The problems that the American farmers are facing here, and the same thing with soybeans, and they just the farmer is not getting enough money to even pay his expenses to bring the harvest in, and you know, the article goes on. It talks about the prices for corn and soybeans haven't risen since the start of the year. You know, China has agreed that to purchase like another $36 billion of agricultural goods, but they haven't seen that. That price hasn't gone up. And, you know, futures on the Chicago Board of Trade are down 16%. And it just, you know, it doesn't add up. If this was how we ran our households or a business, you can't run it that way. And as a result, bankruptcies are going up. Another 580 farmers filed for Chapter 12 bankruptcy through the fiscal year that just ended in June. And I've seen that, you know, similar statistics like in our little local Fence Post magazine that we get that is an agricultural weekly that comes out saying the same thing. It's interesting that the bankruptcies are small family farms, while the larger agricultural operations are taking advantage of that opportunity and purchasing land from these distressed farmers. And I want to ask you, you know, how many of those are foreigners that are gobbling that land up, that are gobbling up that land, just like we've seen in the, we don't eat pork, but in the pork industry, in the meat packer industry, I guess I should say, companies like JBS. There's only four major meat packers in the country, and two of them are owned by Brazilians. And that's our food supply. That's a large part of America's food supply for the beef and the chicken and the pork. And they're owned by foreigners. And here we are seeing the Wall Street Journal saying almost the exact same thing. Here's a quote. The large producers are doing fine, and they're acquiring. They're buying up land. Anyway, it just, you know, here we are once again. We've been talking about it. You guys mentioned that storm, that windstorm that threw, you know, went through the Corn Belt, Iowa and areas. Said it snapped off Iowa corn at its right at the stalks, destroyed grain bins containing corn that farmers were saving to sell once the prices rise, and gone now. And there's that food. And it's not just with corn. You see it with soybeans. You see it with other food items that, you know, like you were saying, Jason, that the it just doesn't seem to hit the American people until either they see it on the news or they don't see it on the grocery store shelves. And by that time, it's too late. It's too late.
Sure, no.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. 307-745-5913.
Now, there's plenty of beef out there available. I mean, as far as this meat shortage goes and them carrying on about that, it's lies. And we see these big companies, these huge conglomerates and everything, they're being bailed out by there's a lot of cronyism going on there as far as that goes. And one of the things that we see happening is just like that, what did they call that, the PPP bailout and the money that they gave for the payroll protection plan, you know, that money disappeared so quickly, and it was to help small businesses. That's what it was said. That's what it was earmarked for. But what we've seen on the backside of it was, of course, we had groups like the Catholic Church took a huge amount of it. All of the companies that swooped in and sucked up all this money, quote unquote, for the PPP were all huge companies that employed hundreds of people or thousands of people, and they sucked it all up. And that's the way that kind of stuff goes frequently, and we see those things go on. And that's where, more than likely, I don't have any documentation, but these companies that are buying and continuing on, and it's not hurting them. No, it's not. The depth of the pockets, it's no different than price leaders and stuff from a lot of these really big box stores and things, where they go in and they don't want, I mean, there's been cases where they've settled and stuff. Some store that sells cosmetics, it's a local homegrown mom and pop shop on the bricks down there, and they do pick your hardware, cosmetics, or whatever. And the big box store wants to drive them out of business, so they do a price leader, and they sell those items below cost. And they use that to become the only store in town, you know, that does that. And we see that going on here with a lot of things on a larger scale with some of this. I mean, we've got people selling fat cows around that are hamburger cows or one thing or another right now, a 1,200-pound cow for $1,000. You know, I mean, so because they can't get rid of them. They can't sell them. They can't make any money on them. And they're making more money doing that than they would be trying to sell it to some of the processors. So they're going ahead and doing that, hoping that they can come out. And people are buying it, of course, and doing that with local processors or yes. One thing or another. But, you know, over the store shelf, you're seeing beef prices. I don't know, what did you say it was running out there, Jason, the other day? Like,
as far as what?
As far as hamburger price was going for out in that area?
Well, I just did a lot of traveling in the last 2 weeks. I was up in Washington State and down into Idaho, and it was basically, I seen it, the cheapest I'd seen it was on clearance because it was getting dated and was $5.99 a pound, and I can't remember where exact that was. Up in Washington, it was running $6.99 a pound in the grocery stores at places like Costco and stuff like that. There was a couple places you'd find something occasionally a little bit cheaper, but we're just talking run-of-the-mill hamburger, and we're not talking all organic, natural, grass-fed, anything like that. We were just talking, you know, 5 pounds of hamburger, 2 pounds of hamburger at a time. Iowa and Michigan, I've talked to several people, and, you know, it's been fluctuating. It seems like it started to come back down here recently. But, you know, it was in the $8.99, $9.99 pound range there for quite a while. And, you didn't want to dare look at a price of a ribeye. I mean, you know, even down here, a lot of the restaurants and stuff that you go in that used to go in to go get a steak at, you know, it cost you $4 more for a steak and, you know, $3 or $4 more for a hamburger than it used to 3 months ago. I was in a restaurant up in Laramie and was talking to a waitress the other day, and she was telling me that they added $3 to everything on their menu.
Yes.
And they're probably going to have to do it again.
Wow. Yeah. So those things are going on all around, and we're going to have to get to know. You know, people are going to have to get to, you know, sourcing stuff more directly. They're either going to have to start going in together and doing some of that, buy the cow, get the beef, or grow the garden, can the stuff.
Yes.
Just to survive. And it's going to return them to the reality of, and that's what people have lost track of. This price control and this series of controls and benefits and everything else that has been put in place is destroying segments of the population. And eventually, I mean, what we're seeing right now all started, you know, clear back in the 30s, I mean, as far as that goes, or started back there with FDR's New Deal. This is the fruit of that situation where there's no free market economy, where you've brought all this stuff in, and it's coming to a head right before our eyes. I mean, there used to be a terminology called the hamburger economy, which was why I used that, because that was, you know, average Joe segment of the population. They didn't maybe eat all the high end stuff, but you know, they were able to do that, and now the hamburger economy or the hamburger segment of our population has become, it's more than steak used to be. So, you know, there we go. I mean, we're seeing that, and it's a wake-up call.
It is. You know, it's a time for farmers markets. And, you know, here in Laramie, we have a short window of good weather, you might say, you know, during harvest season, and that's where it's at right now. And so we're seeing, was a lady up in town the other day with sweet corn from Nebraska and corn jelly. Don't know if you've ever tried corn jelly, but it, a little bit of that goes a long way. And the farmers markets, stopped by one on Thursday afternoon, and the people with the vegetables were all but sold out. There's a local organic farm that, you know, and they market their stuff for individuals, for, you know, small families, and they all but sell out every week. You know, a couple of bee people were there. They had honey in. They were moving honey like crazy. Got another group that comes in from over in Cheyenne, an older retired couple, and they were doing a very brisk business, and we're seeing that, and that's encouraging. I think, you know, we've been telling the remnant, make those connections, just like was said today. Make those connections. You can find whatever area you're in. Now, if you're downtown, you might have to get outside of the city, but you can find locally raised beef. You can find locally raised chicken. You can find local eggs, local vegetables. You may have to look. You may have to look, but you can find that. And when you find it, support those people. Because it is just like these big farms. It, you know, when you see eggs for $3.99 or $3 a dozen in the store, you try raising eggs, and you know, $3 a dozen, that doesn't pay the feed bill if you're having to go buy feed. It just doesn't. And so, you know, with the cost of feed, with the cost of production, especially, you know, having to use these big tractors and whatnot in these large operations, you just can't. Was talking to a guy that came and cut some of our hay this year, and it's a local guy, him and his dad, and he said, yeah, they made an investment this year. They bought a big swather, you know, $200,000 piece of machinery, used big John Deere drivable swather, 16 foot wide, and some other equipment, and trying to run two crews during hay season, and like he said, you know, we're trying to make some money on cutting hay. And we talked about how, you know, this $250,000 equipment is not, it's not set up to where you can make money at that. It just isn't. You know, there's just not enough hay, not enough time to cut enough hay, and he's down. You know, he was telling me they were talking about going up to places like Rock River, and we're expecting 100,000 bales and this and that, and it ends up being 6,000 and 8,000 bales, and so the that may be a sign of how things are around here as well. I don't know. As far as the hay harvest, ours was pretty good. Ours was about like last year, and so things. It was mentioned earlier today. Things are changing. Whether it's the this wind damage in Iowa, I saw a blurb on that this past week, and I don't remember ever seeing anything like that. And the California wildfires, they get worse and worse and worse. And Tim, before the program, you were mentioning that gorilla hail larger than grapefruit out in Nebraska and Kansas.
Mankato, Kansas, down there on the state line in that area, they had massive hail. I mean, it punched holes through roofs and broke windshields out of cars, and that's big stuff. And especially this late in the year, that occasionally you'll see something like that in the spring, but usually don't see that big a hail in late summer or fall. It's kind of unusual.
It is birth pangs. It is birth pangs for what is coming.
It's an opportunity, too, to rethink and rework things. I mean, God gave us a brain, and there are new ways of doing things that break cycles. And this is an opportunity to break the cycle of control and of power and that God's enemies have had over his people, that yoke he talks about. He said he'll break the yoke, or take the yoke off. None of that stuff's ever, it's all kind of cataclysmic, catastrophic sometimes. I mean, looking at it, but there's also the opportunity there to Gideon was out there beating the wheat. That was a difference in the cycle, a different way of doing things.
Yes.
We see those things go on, all the time. And I don't think it's a time to run and hide. It's a time to get creative and a time to be praying for God to give you the insight to take advantage of the situation and to make a change that is going to make it more right.
Amen. Amen.
I was looking at the school thing, and they were talking about this remote learning, and now they've got the whole back to school thing is just, it's insanity. You look at it and it's like, oh my goodness. But first off, my opinion, I praise God they can't go back to the, reassessment, reassignment, situation that they were in, as far as, they're now there and they had one child there was doing remote learning, and of course they have a computer set up with a camera pointing at him, and he was in his room, and he had a gun rack hanging on the wall back behind him in his room there that had some air rifles on it. So his teacher became severely concerned, and she sent the cops over there to check it out. A lot of uproar about that, but point is, that's exactly what they do. They're interested in controlling and changing, mind washing, and doing all the things that they do as regards that. We've seen that go on. And I look at that as not that particular case, I mean, it's terrible that they did that, but it shows you how much authority and how much power they think they have over that. I mean, we see that kind of stuff. It's just another element of how much control they want over your life. I mean, now they want to be in your home and look around, and
that's right.
They're going to send people over there.
Tim, I even saw that the latest with all this distance learning is that they don't want parents to sit in and be a part of that. They don't want parents to sit in and hear and listen and see what they're teaching. And so, I like you said earlier, it's an opportunity to wake up to, well, wait a minute now. Parents should be, and we've all homeschooled, and you guys have and do, and so parents should be, wait a minute here. You're going to teach my child, and you don't want me to know what you're teaching. You don't want me to sit in. You don't want me to drop in and say, hey, what's the lesson today? And that's exactly how the NEA is. That's exactly how the union, the teachers' union, and the majority of the school boards are. That's exactly how they are. They don't want you to know. The history books that are out there are trash. They are filth. They're full of lies. They do not present American history or even world history as truth, as what happened. Yeah. They don't. And they are just worse and worse.
American exceptionalism has slid down the scale a long ways. I mean,
yes.
As a result of our public education system. I mean, we're, ranked 27th in the world in science and lower than that in math. And, of course, that's assuming that they can even write a test to gauge that, because I'm not sure they can. The point is, at a time when godly ethics and moral objectives were taught in schools, and, that went on, we were ranked, in the top in the world. I mean, right up there. And
right.
So we see what happens. I mean, the further you get away from God, the dumber you get, It's like...
That's right. So, I saw a math test the other day, and a logger goes and he logs 100 trees, and he gets 14 board foot per tree, and he gets $3 per board foot when he sells it. And so the question is, how do you think the owl feels having his home cut down in the woods? And that's the modern math. It has nothing to do with math, and it's been that way. It's been that way. But praise God, again, like was said earlier, people are waking up. They're seeing this. It's another opportunity for parents to say, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you want me to see what you're teaching my child in this public fool system? And that's a good thing, that it's waking some people up. We talked about it a few weeks ago, the number of people that are inquiring about homeschooling is just going through the roof. Absolutely going through the roof. We have as part of this, they call it the CARES grant, part of this federal money that the president made available to the states. We had a local company got over $1 million grant to put up towers to provide wireless internet out here in the rural area, in the areas of our county that don't have good internet service. And they're putting towers up, like 100-foot towers with not cell service, but for internet, however that works out. And because of the huge influx, they haven't known, just what they're doing with the schools, and the huge influx of the online and the homeschooling that's going on, and trying to provide internet service for them. And we're seeing that all over the country in the rural areas. And I certainly think that's a two-edged sword, something that you have to really watch and monitor. But we're seeing a huge growth in that, in homeschooling, and in, inquiries. And that's good. That is a good thing.
It is.
Well, Remnant, we've got just a few minutes left. Phone lines open, 307-745-5913. Well, Jason, I'll kind of go down to you, and I know that... over the winter we've advertised in our newsletter and talked about, people trying to try to stay healthy, encouraging people to do that, whether it's, you know, eating good foods or taking their supplements. We've had some supplements and stuff that we've offered to that certainly help with those things. Here we are kind of wrapping up summer. It's going to be fall before long. We were 48 degrees this morning. It was almost chilly here at the Radio Ranch, but we'll be back up to 90 degrees today. But do you have any maybe any thoughts or suggestions to people as they're wrapping up the summer and trying to keep this COVID away and just maybe what people ought to be doing to stay healthy?
I really think for the most part this COVID deal is a hoax. There's some people that have got it severely, and I do know that to be true, but I also know that the majority of the people that get it, the very, very mild flu-like symptoms when they do get it. It's one of those things a good immune system is hard to beat. Eating healthy is one of the best things a person can do. And encourage people, try to eat healthy. Try to eat healthier than you did last year. That's the best thing that people can do. On the supplement side of things, we got so many supplements that we've added in here recently that are, just phenomenal. And we're getting, there's a lot of stuff that we have not been able to get that we could get in the past. And there's stuff that we're finding, and we spend a lot of time trying to find good quality products at a good price. That's what we want to be able to have good products at a good price so that we can pass that on to people out there. I would say, we're getting ready for a flu season anyway, and the vitamin D3, we've got an awesome D3 that is, a 10,000 unit gel cap in olive oil, and it is, it's phenomenal, and it's, it's a fraction of the cost that you can get it for on any of the health food stores, because they try to sell you 1,000 units, with 60 capsules. And, it's a good value. It's a good bargain. You don't have to take 10 of them a day when you're trying to take it. You can take one a day. It's a good dose. It's a good product. That is something that you can get at an affordable price. And that's one of the things, the best things, there's been article after article after article that I've read recently on the benefits of vitamin D3. And we've been, we've been preaching that for years. One of the first products that we actually started selling. At the Selenium, we've got a really awesome, really strong Selenium that is doing people a lot of good. There's a lot of benefits to Selenium. And those are the three things that I think everybody should have in their medicine. Well, the four things that people, I think, that they should have in their medicine cabinet right now, especially going into flu season, is LDM, vitamin D3, the vitamin C, and the Selenium. And it's stuff that you don't have to take it every day, but it's cheap insurance. And when people start using this stuff, even if they get a severe case of the flu or a cold or anything like that, it stinks when you're sick. It stinks when you're sick. And it just, when your nose is running, your throat's sore, your head's plugged up, your stomach's upset, and the people that are doing this, there's doctors in town that are using this protocol, and they're saying that everybody, it'll take between 5 and 7 days off of somebody being sick and their symptoms. So it definitely works. I think that's what I would definitely be interested in and having in my cabinet. And that's what we tell a lot of people. And it's just good stuff to have around. I know, Tim, that's pretty much what you keep around your place, too, for when cold and flu season hits, ain't it?
It is. And it works. The scientific evidence part of it is, like you said, it's out there. But just the actual reality of it is you feel better faster, or you don't get it at all. Last year, didn't have any of that last year around here. If anybody felt like they had a twinge, we upgraded, the amount or whatever, and we felt much better. So, didn't get sick at all. And there were plenty of sick people around us. So it was, for sure. And kind of stay on the sea every day, and LDM is, it's amazing for that kind of stuff. Just my own opinion.
Yes.
I think Jason has a flyer or a printout on that LDM history, and if you haven't read that, you ought to get that. It's an amazing read. It's some history that you sure won't be taught in your history books, but very interesting stuff, and it really works. So, you know, what an advantage.
Amen. Well, guys, we are running out of time. We want to thank you for joining us, and want to invite you to church tomorrow, folks. We'll start up tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org, and click on the live video stream. Jason's done a great job of getting that website back up and running where people can join us, and so we encourage you to do that. Again, if you're going to join us in person, sometimes we have people do that. Maybe they're traveling. Just give us a call. Let us know you're coming so we're not surprised. But, well, guys, thanks again. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated, and they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your swords and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are the one most high o'er all the earth.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
country stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our...